Youth Forum.
It's a Youth Forum, 14 minutes past on top of the hour. My name is Okello the Great. Welcome to the Youth Forum, another episode of the Youth Forum right here on Radio Miraya. Now, today it's Friday and it's 14th April. The year is 2023. Now, tonight our discussion will be on South Sudan youth representation to the UN ECOSOC Youth Forum. Now, this year, this month, two South Sudanese youth will travel to New York and two others will join virtually, and all will participate in Economic and Social Council Youth Forum. Now, the ECOSOC Youth Forum will gather in a hybrid format to address the theme of ECOSOC and the 2022 high-level UN high-level political forum known as HLPF, focusing primarily on COVID-19 and accelerating the implementation of the Agenda 2030 for Sustainable Development. This ECOSOC Youth Forum is convened by the President of ECOSOC and organized by the Department of Economic and Social Affairs, known as DESA. Young people's needs, rights and priorities span across 17 Sustainable Development Goals, known as the SDGs, and ensuring appropriate and dedicated investment into youth development within the SDG framework, which is crucial to the achievement of all goals and target. The ECOSOC Youth Forum is a key platform where young people, high-level government representatives, and other stakeholders contribute to policy discussion through their ideas, solutions, and innovation to accelerate the implementation of the SDGs. Now, the Youth Forum will allow for discussion on good practices, lessons learned, challenges, and opportunities for the monitoring and realization of the 2030 agenda, including in the framework of the Common Agenda Report. It will also be a space to further highlight and reflect on the implementation of UN Youth Strategy, known as the Youth 2030. Now, it will highlight the pivotal role of youth in accelerating recovery and rebuilding efforts from COVID-19 and implementing the Sustainable Development Goals in the Decade of Actions, particularly towards the preparation for the 2023 SDG Summit as the mid-term review of the implementation of 2030 Agenda. It will as well provide an equal opportunity for ministers responsible for youth affairs and other high-level governmental representations, youth representatives, and other stakeholders to discuss how young people are participating and leading on COVID-19 recovery within the framework of SDGs. And last but not the least, it will offer a platform to the UN member states to inform and discuss with different stakeholders on how best practices and examples of national policies, programs, and priorities on youth development, rights, and engagement in the context of 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development, accelerating recovery efforts from the COVID-19 pandemic, and the UN Youth Strategy as Youth 2030. Now, tonight, the Youth Forum on Radio Miraya, it's so privileged and humble to be hosting the four of the young, vibrant South Sudanese who will participate in the ECOSOC Youth Forum in New York. Let me, all the listeners across the country, with your permission, to welcome the guest, the very, very all awaiting guest that we've been waiting for that long. They are with me tonight in the studio. And so the guest, I'm going to begin by introducing them to you. Number one, Honorable Sarah Akwot Dutdiu, the Minister for Information, Culture, Youth and Sport. And she is the minister in the Ruang administrative area. And she's as well a UN youth fellow. She'll be joining us later on in the program. But let me continue to still introduce to you the rest of the guests we have in the studio. Now, we have Ms. Grace Gasso. She's youth delegate and speaker at Roundtable on SDG 9 on Industry, Innovation and Infrastructure. Ms. Grace Gasso, welcome to the Youth Forum on Radio Miraya.
Thank you very much.
And then let me continue to introduce still members of the panel as well with me in the studio. Is Mary Natisio. She is a UN youth delegate, and she'll be joining virtually. Mary, welcome to the Youth Forum.
Thank you so much for having me.
And we have Lemi Emmanuel. Lemi Emmanuel, I must admit, she's one of the tallest. among the team. And Lemmy, he is rather the youth UN youth delegate, and he will be joining for the month of April virtually. And I was made to understand they will join later on physically. But for now, Lemmy, welcome to the Youth Forum.
Thank you so much.
All right, both, let me say, ladies and gentlemen, as the words goes very well, let's begin the journey. Congratulations to both of you for having won the PS'd and toughest competition that you have gone through. And two of you will be traveling to New York, and others will be joining virtually to the round table discussion in person, of course, and others will be joining, as I said. How does that make you guys feel, given that you'll be joining a forum that is rather a high-level forum, that not even easy for many of the youth to get this opportunity? So we'll begin from right to left. So that definitely will have to begin with Grace. Grace, how does that make you feel?
Personally, it's quite overwhelming, but it's an exciting journey that I'm ready to take, because everything begins with one step. So I bet this is a step to greater opportunities in the future.
And Natizio?
Well, I'm also pretty excited to be joining the EcoSoc Youth Forum, although it will be virtually. And that's mainly because we cannot attend in person, because we have... So the two of us, Lemmy and I, we are under the UN Youth Delegate Program. So we'll be representing the country at the UN General Assembly in New York in September. But prior to that, we've got trainings that we're supposed to do. So during the ECOSOC Forum, we're going to be in Uganda for our regional training. So that's why we shall be attending virtually. Either way, we are so excited. I'm so excited. And yeah, I think it's just youth representation is very important. So yeah, thank you.
Awesome. Let's bring in Lemmy. Yes. Lemmy, how does that make you excited? Are you feeling excited, certainly?
Yeah, initially I was excited at the beginning. But then over time, I also got overwhelmed, because being the youngest delegate at the youngest youth fellow at the National Education Assessment, which happened in Maona Classic, it was obviously overwhelming being a young person straight out of high school, getting engaged into such a big thing. So it's overwhelming every day. I cannot even sleep very well nowadays. But
how do you sleep?
I wake up at 4. Yeah, but it's much as it's overwhelming, I've learned to accept it. And going on this journey also, as she mentioned, it's a big thing. So you have to go there and not just look at it as a chance to go to New York, but a chance to actually represent the youth in your country properly and, like, place their matters there.
All right, so let's go in again. The ECOSOC Youth Forum will run from 25th to 27th of April this month, and a couple of agendas are on the table to be discussed. Now, I want you guys to bring to light, what are these agendas that are going to be discussed in New York, for some of you are going to join virtually, and for the people that are going to be there in person?
First and foremost, we are going to do some reviews on the SDGs. I know we are all aware of some SDGs. There are 17 in total, but the main SDGs that we are going to concentrate on are industry, innovation, and infrastructure. Then we have sanitation and clean water, sustainable cities, and many others.
Okay, and Melina Tisio, given that these few of the agendas are going to be on the table of the discussion, which in particular depict your brain that you would want to talk about in particular?
So first of all, when we look at the theme of the ECOSOC forum, it's accelerating COVID-19 recovery and implementation of the 2030 agenda. So when you look at the 2030 agenda, she has talked about it, those are the sustainable development goals. And like we know, there are 17 of them, and I feel like each of them is equally important. So these SDGs, they are the comprehensive blueprint that have been adopted by the UN member states. And we hope to achieve them by 2030 for eliminating extreme poverty. We want to look at things like education, reducing inequality, gender inequality, that is, protecting the climate, protecting the planet. So I think they are all equally important, but according to me, I think I would go with SDG 4 of quality education.
Okay, yes. Well, you'll come to that later on, and please prepare yourself for quality education, with that one. Lemmy, I want to bring you in. Given the SDGs are 17 in number, some of these are going to surface during the discussion on the roundtable in New York. Of course, the ladies have talked about a few of them. Which one will you carry?
Yeah, personally, I'll be carrying SDG 7, which is on affordable and clean energy, because initially at the National Education Assessment, I picked a key interest in the SDG concerning climate action. So one of the ways to solve the climate issue in our society currently is through finding affordable means to help everyone in the community access renewable energy, because right now the climate issue is it's going beyond, and there is no time, as the Sustainable Development Goals are supposed to be achieved by 2030, and we have passed the halfway mark. So I pick an interest in affordable and clean energy because it influences my interest in climate change.
Awesome. Well, Grace, I want to bring your attention to something. What is your understanding of youth engagement and participation?
According to me, youth engagement entails involving the youth in our different activities that we carry out, including them in decision-making, not in decision-making in that when we have cases or laws that we want to pass, we include them, carry out feedback and get feedback from them, carry out discussions, meetups with the youth to understand them, because we all know that the youth carry a large percentage all over the world, even here in our country. So it involves inclusion, empowering them, and accommodating all that they need. For example, such as this youth program, if there are youth that want to participate in a activity in our country, we should be able to find the funding for them. We shouldn't decline them saying that we don't have funding for this, because they are young children, they don't know what they are doing and all that. We should include them and also do more to make them make our country a better place. Because as everyone says, the future of the world lies in the hands of the youth. So if you empower them and guide them to the right path, they'll make the world a better place.
Speaking of making a world a better place, Natisio, I want to bring your brain into this. Again, your understanding on youth engagement.
Okay, well, for me, I think youth engagement is building relationships with the youth. So when you build the relationship with the youth, you get to meet them, like she said. You carry out different programs and activities that involve the youth. And in as such, you provide opportunities for them. You instill skills that they need. And when you do that, you encourage youth empowerment. And obviously, as we know, in South Sudan currently, about 74% of our population, according to statistics, are the youth. So when you empower these youth, we are going to change and have a better country or a better tomorrow for everyone, not just in South Sudan, but for the world, because the youth constitute a very big percentage. So, yeah, I think that's what youth engagement is, according to me.
Great. Emmanuel.
Yes.
Obviously, your name is God with me, or God with us.
Yeah.
I hope God is with you.
Always.
Okay. The ladies have talked about youth engagement. I want you to pretty much talk about youth participation.
Youth participation.
What does that entail to you?
Personally, my understanding of youth participation is having young people's efforts being injected into anything happening in a country. For instance, if you want to pass a law, you must have different views from different people in the community, the elderly. You must respect, because these laws, say, I'm talking, considering like a law as an example.
Yes.
Such a law will have an impact on the young people, the old people, and the children. So you must consider everyone's idea. So you must respect everyone's point of view, everyone's idea, basically. So I think it's about having young people's ideas respected and included in anything happening in the country, because young people are vital to anything happening in the country. You cannot have a country without respecting the views of the young people, because it wouldn't make sense to instead influence like what is happening in Uganda, to influence something like revolution among the young people. So to avoid such, you must include the young people's ideas and get them engaged also.
Okay. All right. Mary, I want to begin with you before I bring in Grace. Well, I want us to talk about the SDG number 6. And the SDG number 6 is about clean water and sanitation. Now, in the context of our country, what are you guys doing to achieve this goal?
Okay, so when you look at clean water and sanitation, I think this is quite wide, but I'm going to highlight mainly on the issue of clean water. So let's talk about the Nile. This is our main source of water for domestic purposes. And then we see that a lot of wastes are being poured into the Nile, right? And there are no laws against these kinds of things. So I think that as a country, obviously, if as youth we are encouraged to be in the decision-making process, these are some policies that I think we would have to look at, looking at protecting water bodies that provide clean water. And then when we look at sanitation, so obviously it's about the general environment, keeping it clean. So earlier today when I was on my way here, actually, I passed by Custom because I live in Rock City. And in the middle of the road, right, there's a lot of garbage there that looks like it's been there for God knows how long. So as youth, I feel like if we organize something, we say, you know what, let's clean roads today. Let's go pick up some of this garbage, because we're not going to keep waiting for things to be done, yet we can do them ourselves. So yeah, SDG 6, clean water and sanitation, that's what I have to say about it in the context of South Sudan. Yeah.
Grace, SDG 6, clean water and sanitation, what is your pick?
According to me, I'll start with sanitation. As we can see, there is a lot of littering in our country. So basically what I would think would be the best decision is like to put trash bins around. Not trash bins as in the plastic ones, but we as members of the community, we can get the materials we have within our community and build certain trash bins. I've seen around in some places, such as maybe Seniors Hub, they built something like with papyrus reeds. Then they build like a box like thing, and that's where people, as you are moving around, you can dump your rubbish in it, other than having to either carry your trash around or leave it in a taxi or throw it out of the window. It would be better for us to have that in our communities so that we can be able to easily dump our rubbish. Because I realized even you can be cleaning in front of your house every morning, but when you get out early in the morning, you find rubbish and you're like, what happened? But if we'd have like trash bins in front of our houses or like on the walkways of the roads, it would be making our place a cleaner environment. I think Mary has talked more on the clean water and sanitation. I mean clean water, so I do agree with her on that point. Yeah.
What is your take on both, on clean water and sanitation?
Yeah, clean water and sanitation. The official wording of the Sustainable Development Goal, number 6, is actually to ensure availability and sustainable management of water and sanitation for all.
Mm.
So I'm sure recently the government has been putting effort into ensuring like there's clean water in the city. I'm aware, we're all aware of that new water plant. But this is just in the city. And South Sudan is very big. Let's take into consideration the people living in the internally displaced persons camps. Then there is a portion of land filled with sewage. When it rains and the flooding comes, this sewage is shifted into the water bodies where people fish, where people bathe, and obviously the end result is disease. I feel like clean water and sanitation is very important because it helps prevent things like diseases and everyone having access to that. It helps the community. And there's a lot of, consider the clean water and sanitation, say, oh, the question was, we as young people, what we could do?
Yes.
Yeah. And currently, right now, I'm very young, 18 only, and initially I thought I couldn't make an effort into changing this community, but I'm inspired every day, like when we're at the National Education Assessment, I got a chance to meet with a lot of young people that have great ideas.
Mm.
And I think it all begins from not sidelining the ideas of the young people, because I could speak about what I could do as a young person here, but if no one is listening to me, it wouldn't be making a change. So I think it goes up to the hands of the stakeholders to actually listen to the ideas young people have, because also she mentioned about dustbins to help the sanitation. So until young people's ideas are listened to actually, then they will have an impact. And sanitation, she was also speaking about the dustbins. Yeah, we pass in places that stink to death. But, yeah, we can put an effort and help change the society. And not just us, but with support from the right people, the right ministries, the right government.
Do you think it's more enough, just speaking about it, what in reality can be done as young, as youth? to ensure that we have clean water and to ensure that our sanitation is right in place. What do you think can be done, realistically, in your opinion? And you're looking at all your eyes. This is like, let me respond or maybe respond.
I think we should look at the negative effects of not having clean water and sanitation, like you said. So I think a lot of people do not even know the impact of not having clean water and sanitation. But when you do not have clean water, disease, like you talked about, so you start spending more on treatment. Look at a country like South Sudan, where the health facilities are not even that good. So it's going to lead to death. So we look at some of these things as small things, but it later affects us in very serious ways. So if we start advocating and telling people, listen, if we do not do this, if we do not protect the Nile, if we do not stop littering everywhere we go, if we do not keep our environment clean, it's going to end up to, you know, your health is going to be affected, disease, death, and all of these things. So I think it's very important that we first tell people, they first need to know the adverse effects of not having clean water and sanitation. Then after that, we can start, like what she said, the bins and all of that, and helping keep the city clean or the environment clean. Yes.
Okay. I hear all of you noting.
Yeah.
That's the only way we go. All right. So let's then shift our gears to talk about SDG number 7, which is, of course, about affordable and clean energy. Is this SDG achievable in our country?
I'll speak on that.
Please go ahead, Lemmy.
Currently, we intended to buy a solar battery at home.
Mm-hmm.
But going to ask for the price just shut us down because it was way too expensive. And I said earlier, affordable and clean energy is actually a right way to go to ensure the battle on climate change is actually successful. So talking about affordability, it's not affordable. A solar, a battery, an inverter, a solar controller, it's very expensive. Currently in this country, and considering the economy right now, a lot of people cannot afford this huge poverty rate in this country. So affordable and clean energy, in my opinion, currently South Sudanese in general, considering the high poverty rate, it's nearly impossible.
Nearly impossible.
Yeah.
The ladies, you agree with the gentleman?
I agree with him, but I would like to add on to what he said.
Please go ahead.
So when it comes to affordability, it may be quite hard, but availability, I think we also need to look at that. So, of course, we as a country cannot all decide, let's use solar energy at the same time, because like you said, it could be expensive for some people. But I think one step taken will later help. So that few people can afford it, I think should adapt to, solar energy and these other renewable sources of energy such as hydroelectric. We have wind energy and all of these things. We just want to reduce the carbon emissions in the environment, right? So as you see, South Sudan, we use a lot of fossil fuels. We have the coal, we are in the oil, the petroleum, the natural gas, the gas, you understand? All of these are fossil fuels and they increase on the carbon emissions in our environment, and we want to work hard to reduce this. So we are not going to just sit down and say, you know what, I think we are all poor. Let's not. I think we can still take a few steps, those who are able to, of course. And then with time, obviously, then we can also look at, the government can also help with such things, you know, ensuring that there's renewable energy that is being used in the country. So in as such, we'll have affordable and clean energy with time. It's not something that can be achieved right now, like he said, but I think every step matters.
Grace?
Yes, to add on to what they have said, yes, it looks like a long-term plan to achieve, but with time we shall get there. Because, yes, we are a young country, but with time everything is possible. And to add on, yes, we can achieve that. We have, as they say, most people call Juba in particular Sun City. So we can all be able to, those of us who are able to, can afford to buy the solar panels so that we can have solar in our houses and electricity so that we can avoid the carbon emission and all that. But I agree with what Mary and Lemmy said.
All right, so... Okay, I just want to feed in all the listeners across the country. It's 39 minutes past 8 o'clock. I remain Peter Okello. The guest in the studio is Grace Gasso. I hope I got your name right. And then Mary Natisio. And then we have Emmanuel Lemmy. Later on, we'll be joined by Honorable Sarah Akwot. We are told she'll be coming, but we'll keep you updated if she's going to be with us or not. But for now, these are the guests we have in the studio, and you're listening to the Youth Forum right here on Radio Mirror. And we are talking about the representation of youth to the UN ECOSOC Youth Forum in New York. South Sudanese are going there, and we are well represented by the youth, as you can hear their voice right here in the studio. And we are talking about the SDGs, aren't we? We are focusing much on SDGs, and they are feeding us into the system. They are telling us how and in which way are we able to work and try to advocate for these SDGs to begin to try to work on it and to get a bit of the results right here in South Sudan. But to the guests, I want to come back to you again. We have SDG number 9. And in SDG number 9, we were talking precisely about industry. We talked about innovation, and we'll talk about infrastructure, whichever you want to pick, given that you guys are three. So please choose the correct answer. And Grace, please don't have a heartbeat. By the grace of God, you are here. Mm-hmm. And we'll be talking about this SDG in particular. Yeah. Please tell us in short words, if you may, how can we achieve innovation in the context of South Sudan?
Innovation, first and foremost, let me talk about what innovation is. Innovation entails creating something from what you have. To innovate is to create. So innovation in the context of South Sudan, I would basically say, is what we as South Sudanese can create. Me personally, I'm a computer science student, so when you talk about innovation to me, the first thing that comes into my mind is technology. How I can build apps or different websites and all that. So the first thing that comes to my mind is how us as South Sudanese can create things that we as people of the community of South Sudan can consume. We all know that what somebody in Uganda does is not what somebody here in South Sudan can do. So the apps that are built for America and so on cannot be built for South Sudan. We should look at the context of the people within our area, study and know what their problems are before we create what we want. For example, an app. They always say that in programming, it's about problem solving. So you look at the problem of your community, assess it, and provide a suitable solution for it. Yes.
All right. So, and then Mary Natisio, Emmanuel Lemmy, we have infrastructure and we too have industry. Which one do you want to take?
I think I'll take industry.
Please.
Yeah, this SDG concerning industry, it aims at promoting inclusive and sustainable industrialization by 2030. Industrialization in the sense that it actually goes down to all the steps of production. For instance, I'd like to talk about agriculture in this country. This SDG, one of its aims is to actually raise a country's GDP. Like, talk about South Sudan. Our GDP is so low. Why? Because, and the ECOSOC Youth Forum actually highlights COVID-19 recovery. A lot of people just complain about the economy, but they don't have the exact knowledge. For example, why is our economy like this? Why is this happening? And I think it goes back to diversifying the whole country's economy, the ways of earning revenue. For instance, we're all focusing on, everyone knows South Sudan is rich in oil. We're all aware of that. Yeah. And we shouldn't focus on one means of survival. If you want to survive in this world, you must have alternating means of getting money. So I think until our government focuses on agriculture, agriculture is very important. Everyone knows that it's the backbone. We cannot live without eating. So agriculture, countries like Uganda, they actually survive on agriculture. They grow cotton, they export coffee, and South Sudan has that potential. There are so many states in this country, green states, that actually can facilitate agricultural activities, not just minimal agriculture, widespread activities that can actually bring a change and impact into this country's economy. So, and the SDG talks about innovation, infrastructure, and
industry.
And all these, there's a reason why all these words with I's are in that same box, because innovation has an impact on industry. Considering now that we're in a very digital, innovative world, you cannot survive if you have no knowledge on digitalization. So I think bring innovative ideas and injecting them into our industries is very important. For instance, there's an example I read one time in Kenya. An innovative hub came up with an idea, and they created an app called M-Farm. And through this app, farmers could access information concerning prices of, say, the products they are growing. They could also access the prices in the markets, in so many markets of the products they are growing. They could also have like a sort of, it's more concerning agriculture. So I think injecting innovation and innovative ideas into our means of our industries and means of sustaining industry like agriculture is very important. And I think that's my take on this SDG, because all these words, they have an influence.
All right, so your take, it's on industry. We bring in the person who's in charge of infrastructure. Mary?
Okay, so I think infrastructure is something very broad. We cannot talk about it all. But in the case of South Sudan, I would like to talk about just basic infrastructure. We look at things like roads. We look at telecommunication. A lot of times you hear people giving excuses for not being able to do things. They're not even excuses. They're real. I know of people who sometimes do not go to work here in South Sudan because they say that the roads are bad. If it rains, it has flooded. You understand?
Right.
So I just want to talk about the how serious this issue is.
Like
we have poorly developed infrastructure in this country. When we look at telecommunication services, I'm from Eastern Equatoria. Where I'm from in my village, there's literally no network. If you want to communicate, you have to climb the mountain. Literally, yes. do some research on it.
That's a good one.
Yes, like you have to climb to the top to just get some signal for communication. So South Sudan in general, we do not have developed infrastructure, but what do we want to do about this? So I think I would encourage increased investment, on promoting or providing better infrastructure for the citizens. And with this, of course, the government has to play a very, very big role. So if we invest in building roads, bridges, such things, you understand, telecommunication services, improving this. Recently, there's a bridge that was built, the second bridge, and we've seen
Freedom
how...
Freedom
Bridge, yes. And we've seen how it has helped the issue of traffic that was on the other bridge. So we see the impact of such small things. So if we're starting with things like bridges, now when we look at transportation, we can start using other means of transport. It doesn't always have to be roads. We can look at railways. Some of these means of transport are even quicker and sometimes cheaper and more affordable. So I was in Morocco and I used to use trains more than buses to travel because, they're more comfortable. So if South Sudan can adopt such infrastructure, like improvement of such infrastructure. So, I think I just encourage the government to increase their investments on provision of better infrastructure for the citizens, because it will affect people in every field. We always complain about poor health, poor education. All this is caused due to a lack of infrastructure. In some communities, there are no hospitals, there are no... and even if they are there, sometimes it's even hard. Transportation, the roads are too poor. We look at the Nimule Road. I used it recently traveling from Uganda, and you literally see trucks falling because the road is horrible.
That's a lot of potholes.
Yes, a lot of potholes. So how is food going to be transported, knowing that we are transporting food from countries like Uganda to South Sudan? So I think, things, especially roads, that would be the main thing I think that should be looked to help improve the infrastructure in South Sudan.
Well, recently the government has embarked in putting the roads as priority. You have seen the Juba Bor Road. You are seeing the Juba Bahr Ghazal Highway.
Yes.
True. That has reached already to Terkeka and is past going to the Greater Bahr Ghazal. Soon they will begin, of course, I've heard of the renovation of Juba Nimule Road. And then, of course, there's this Juba Torit Kapoita to Nadapal, up to the border to Kenya. And so maybe it's a matter of time, but if they do all roads and everything is in fine, that means we'll be walking all the way to heaven, is it?
Yeah, true.
Okay, all right, so that's it. But let's keep continuing, because the SDGs discussion is getting more sweeter, isn't it?
Yeah.
So this SDG number 11, the SDG 11 is... It's talking about sustainable cities and communities.
Yes.
We have a city, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
Where are we now?
Kinda.
Juba City.
So
Juba
let's talk
City.
About the sustainability and of these cities. Of course, literally every state has got a capital.
Yeah.
And of course, with Torit being the capital of Eastern Equatoria, where Mary Natiso came from. And we have, of course, Juba being for Central Equatoria. Lemi, I believe you are from here.
Yeah.
And so we have, you have Yambio for Western Equatoria. You have, where?
Tombra.
Oh, Tombra. Yes. Okay, but Yambio, not Tombra. But Tombra is a town. That, for sure, I was made to understand. And, of course, you have Bor for Jonglei. You have, which one? Rumbek?
Yeah.
For Lake State? Who else have another one to tell?
I think that's it.
Don't tell me all of you are coming from outside.
No, I'm from here. From here.
All right, so you go on. You have Wau, you have Awil, you have Bentiu, and you have Malakal. Yeah. The list keep on going. But, of course, these are all our towns. SDG number 11 talked about sustainable cities and communities. Take it from there. What is your understanding on this SDG number 11?
I think SDG number 11, sustainable cities and development, aims at making cities and human settlements inclusive, safe, resilient, and sustainable. But if you have to look at our communities right now, is Juba really safe? Can I walk out right now and not be robbed, like right now? Is this city, like, and about sustainability of communities, I would like, you spoke about Bentiu recently, and people doesn't hit by floods. They're actually surviving on borrowed time. If it's not for the dikes built by these humanitarian organizations, clearly, a lot of homes have been subsided. People are suffering there. And these are supposed to be our towns, of which in the future they could become our cities. But how? Yet the fight on climate change is not being prioritized by the global society. And it's actually important because we must live where, in a place where we know that in the future, this place will still be standing, so that we know that this is where we come from, our town. So I think this SDG mainly hints on climate action also. I don't want to talk about climate action a lot, but it actually hints on climate action because relating to South Sudan, the climate issue is serious and it affects the sustainability of a community. We're hearing news of cities in Tokyo where being hit by tsunamis or whatever. All this action, that means the city is not sustainable if the infrastructure is not right. And that also brings me to the concern that all these SDGs are equally important, as she said. They all work together. Mm. We cannot have a sustainable city if the fight on climate change is not addressed. We cannot have the there's a relationship between them. I'm talking about safety here in Juba, for example. It's not safe. That's a fact. Not just Juba in general. I don't want to talk about the city, because me as a youth delegate, when I think about going to New York to represent South Sudanese people, you could think I'm going to represent people in Juba, but personally, when I want to refer to an issue facing South Sudanese, I don't look at the perspective of Juba as a city. I think about what about someone in Bentiu, what about someone here, what about someone in Yei, a young person there whose issues I must carry with me, because it's a whole responsibility. I'm not going there to New York as a young person myself to just tour the city and sit in the attend the General Assembly and the Third Committee. So I think it's important that I carry with me, and when I think about this, I should think about it in a perspective of a young person far away whose ideas cannot be taken. So it's important that I carry ideas from people that are far, that actually face the issues firsthand. Someone in Juba may not know the effects of floods. So talking about sustainable cities and communities, we have to have sustainable societies. Yeah, a city where we shall know this is our place. It will not be carried away by a flood one day. So I think that's my understanding of this SDG.
Okay. All right. So among the ladies, I need one person to take it over, and then the other person will do a recurring mathematic. We'll be going for a break, and then when we come back from a break, immediately at 9 o'clock, the person who haven't spoken will take it from there. But we need one person to say something before we go for break. Who will do that?
Okay. I think I can add on to what he said.
Please go ahead, Mary.
Yes. So when we talk about making cities and human settlements inclusive, safe, resilient, and sustainable, this is a very big thing that we have ahead of us. Now, we talked about security already. In Juba, we don't even have to talk about the security in South Sudan. Sometimes you cannot even walk past certain hours because the security is not a guarantee. And so for me, I want to talk about affordable housing and transport systems. So this all falls under sustainable cities. So if we're able to have affordable housing, Juba, I think, is one of the most expensive cities, if I'm not mistaken, in East Africa. When it comes to housing, rent is very expensive. Transport systems are not well developed. So all this falls under this SDG. And then I also want to point on the world population in general. So the population is increasing rapidly, and there's a lot of rural to urban migration. So Juba as a city is obviously increasing in population. I think the population of Juba then is not the same as now. It's rapidly increasing. And because of that, we are going to need to improve on this SDG of sustainable cities and communities. Yeah. So I guess that's what I have to say. And before I forget, urban planning is also something that we could look at in terms of sustainable cities and communities.
Okay. Yeah. All right. We'll talk about urban planning. We'll talk about village planning, whichever planning you guys have. But right now, we'll be taking for a break. It's actually 55 minutes on top of 8 o'clock. My name is Peter Okello. The guest from right to left is Grace Gasso. We have Mary Natisio and we have Emmanuel Lemmy. These are the youth ambassadors and they'll be traveling all the way to New York. And they will represent South Sudan in that fashionable manner. How about that? So when we come back, we'll talk more. Of course, we have two or three remaining, and then we'll be able to allow all the listeners across the country to call in, to send in their messages, and to be part and parcel of this great, great discussion tonight on the Youth Forum. So stay with me, and don't you go far away. I go by the name of Okello the Great. When we come back, we will talk more, actually. But for now, please, I leave you a couple of songs, one from Kuzuz Clan Su Karabu, and when we come back, we get to hear from Ruga, and that is Girlfriend. Stay locked and don't you go far.
Border front and to my town. Listen to the price and tell me 10 pounds. Oh, relax, hey, you better know. I'm a simple man who got no job in this town.
Come on, I call him for a season. Bad man, tell who, that makes them one. Big up to Kuzos, Clem, and that's it.
So, big a carabu.
One command, big a gali.
This is a question I ask.
Big a command, big a gali.
Why?
Suga command, big a gali.
Everything is pressing.
I shan't kill the Aragon.
What up there?
It's an expensive season. Watch news on your television. I'm not paid to bring this news to you. Better not this cereal.
my eyes off you, especially a bite and move.
Youth Forum.
Welcome back to the Youth Forum of the second hour. It's 9 o'clock, 6 minutes past nine, and my name is Peter Okello. As I said earlier on, we've been having the guests, and the guests are still with me in the studio. For those who just tune in and who do not know perhaps what we are talking about tonight, the discussion of tonight on the Youth Forum is talking about South Sudan youth representation to UN ECOSOC Youth Forum that is going to take place next week from 25th to 27th. In New York, United States of America. Now, the youth in the studio, we are talking about much of the SDGs that build as part of the agenda of the roundtable that will take place next week, as I said it. And the guests in the studio with me, I would want to do that round of introduction again. We have Miss Grace Gasso. She is the youth delegate and speaker at roundtable on SDG number 9 on industry, innovation, and infrastructure. And we have Mary Natisio. She is the UN Youth Delegate, and she'll be joining the roundtable discussion in New York virtually. And we also have Lemmy Emmanuel. He will also join virtually. And Lemmy Emmanuel is a UN Youth Delegate as well. Now, Lemmy Emmanuel and Mary Natisio, they will be going to New York in September. But as of this month, we'll be having Miss Grace Gasso, who will be going to New York. She'll be in New York next week, and she'll be presenting South Sudan on that round table. She'll also be joined by Honorable Sarah Akwot Dutdiu, who is the Minister for Information, Culture, Youth and Sport. And Honorable Sarah is the Minister in Ruweng Administrative Area, and she is a United Nations Youth Fellow. Now, all these guests are the one that we are having in the studio tonight, and we are discussing about SDGs. SDGs are Sustainable Development Goal, for those who does not know what this mean. And now earlier on, we stuck at the SDG number 11, and if my brain would take me back more little closely, we have heard from Lemmy Emmanuel, and we have as well heard from Mary Natisio. Now the table shift to Grace Gasso. Please, Miss Gigi. All right, so please take us on the SDG number 11. What is your take?
As SDG number 11 says, sustainable cities. In my own understanding, sustainable cities are cities of comfortable living, a city that you're comfortable living in. In my own understanding, I would feel that a sustainable city is a city that is technologically equipped, meaning everything in our city can be accessed easily. We see these cities in movies, such as the ones in Japan, China,
Tokyo, Beijing,
yes,
Hong
all
Kong
those.
And all that, yeah.
They have electronic trains. They can pay for everything from the comfort of their homes. I know some of us may be thinking that makes us lazy people, making us not do enough exercise.
What is your problem? I'm not going to Konya and pay.
Yeah, but you want a simple lifestyle. If it has rained and I want to pay for something and order something online, I'll prefer it to be delivered to my doorstop at home. So I'll think of a sustainable city, one that has technologically equipped things such as electronic trains, easy payment of services, such as mobile money. We can use our mobile money now to buy data and all that.
Mm.
So it would be much easier if everything can be done on our phones. Accessing bank, we can do it on our phones, the ATMs and all that. So in my own understanding, I'd prefer a sustainable city to be one that is full of comfortable living. Yes.
Okay. But you talking of mobile money, we pretty much have mobile money, don't we? We have Nile Pay, we have MTN Money.
Yeah, we do.
MTN Momo.
Mm-hmm.
And there's many others. Where is the problem, Grace?
The problem is
our city is certainly reaching there, aren't we?
Yes, we are reaching there, but as I can tell you...
Where is BAT coming from?
BAT is coming from the fact that we do have mobile money, but most people don't use it.
Mm.
Most people are not aware of it. They don't feel that it is safe for them. They feel like if I put my money on mobile money and disappears, they're always checking their balances every few minutes.
Is it there? Is it there?
Yes. So now people are not aware of how much easier it would be putting your money on mobile money other than having to move further distances to withdraw or to deposit every time, because it saves time. There are people who I know who put their money on mobile money so that whenever they need to buy airtime or buy data or minutes to call anyone, they can just do it on their phone rather than having to go to the shop like 5 times in a day just to buy minutes or to buy more data continuously.
You have to see the shopkeeper. Why?
I know, but like it's so tiresome and the sun.
Yes. Okay. All right. I hear you. That is your opinion. Let's talk about your journey, Grace. Of course, we'll talk about the journey of the duo, Emmanuel and Mary, later on. Let's talk about your journey. You'll be going to New York not so long, in a few days from now. Yes. And you'll be there. What do you want to tell us about your journey going there?
My journey going there, first of all, it's not an easy journey. Going 17 hours from South Sudan, it is my first time traveling alone. I'm like one of the youngest in my family.
So you carry your grandmother.
Yeah, if I could.
Yeah. Yes.
So it's quite, the good thing is that we are going with a delegation, so it will be much easier for us to cope and go through the process. So, and also, first and foremost, the people paying for that trip. Since we applied for everything and got accepted, it's us to fund our process going there. So UNFPA, together with NCA, are the ones sponsoring my trip to the US. So I'm grateful to them. Yes. So going there, I would like to represent South Sudan and not tell people more about the good things in our country. Most people, when they think about South Sudan, they think of wars, bad things. But South Sudan is full of potential.
Right.
Me coming here, I recently just came to South Sudan like last year. So coming here, I didn't know so much about the country. I grew up in Uganda. I was born in Uganda. So everything was so new. I'd search on Google. How is this? How is South Sudan and everything? So now...
I hope Google did not mislead you.
Google misled me so much.
Okay.
So much. But I'm a Google developer. I'll work on that in the future.
Right.
So now I want to go and tell people about the good things. There are very many good things in this country. Opportunities for people to thrive. Opportunities for people to attend different workshops to attain skills. Our country is not full of bad things. We have so many good things. We have beautiful cities. We have the nice roads. We have Terekeka. Yeah, like there are many good things here in South Sudan. So I'd like to be an advocate for our country. Tell people that we have good things, good people who want change, not what they see on social media. Not everything that they see on social media is true.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. I'll skip Mary. I want to go to Lemi Emmanuel.
Yes.
Lemi, your journey will come in September. Not really very far.
Yeah, not really.
As you've been having vat lice on your head, on your leg, on everywhere, and you're confused. You're sleeping vertical instead of horizontal on your bed.
Yeah.
Tell us about you going to US and New York in particular.
Yeah, me going to New York actually. Until this very instant, I'm very shocked that I was selected, because among the 20 youth fellows that were there to be selected, there were so many amazing people, so many people with ideas, so many.
Right.
I recently spoke with the people in charge, and they said for them, initially, you could not guess who would be selected. So being in that room exposed me to the fact that although young people here in this country are affiliated with conflicts and crime and all these atrocities, there is a section of young people that are energized, they have courage, they have ideas, and they can create an impact in this society. So being with those people, actually, I had never been in a room with such people in my whole life, because I had just come out of school, high school. So I think I have gotten to learn that although the country is in its state, there are few souls that actually, they have a motive to change it. And speaking about my selection, back to my selection, I was selected, and I said I'm still shocked right now. But I've learned to live with this shock, because you have to accept it so that you build on your mindset towards the whole being selected thing. You cannot just go there and stand to deliver your statement and just be point blank.
Right.
So I believe it's, I'm going to represent, it's not just us. We have the support of the other 18 youth fellows with us.
Mm.
Their ideas will be in us. We'll have to go there and represent them together with the youth of South Sudan.
Correct.
Yeah, so I think my journey basically, it's complicated, very, but I hope I'll get through. And we have regional training, so I believe these trainings with other youth fellows
will equip you before them.
The other delegates from Uganda, Kenya, Sudan,
right,
Tanzania, will equip, they'll train us, and by the time we reach there, hopefully,
be a very strong guy.
Assured, we will be very strong.
Great.
Yeah.
All right, so that's Lemmy. Let's bring in Mary. Mary Natiso, I hope when you come back from New York, you not go to your village and climb the mountain and you want to talk to us in Juba. But sure, let's talk about you going to New York and then coming back. Will we see the same Mary or a different one?
That's a good question. So let me first add on to what he said.
Please.
So the selection process was a very competitive one. So people applied, I believe more than 170 something, yeah, to be part of the UN Youth Delegate Program. So I'm aware a lot of people, especially youth in South Sudan, they are not even aware of this program. They do not know about this, but this is an annual program. Other countries have more developed like youth delegates programs, like the Australia, UN Youth Australia, UN Youth Ghana. In Africa, there are countries that have been doing this. But when it comes to South Sudan, this is the first time that two UN youth delegates are being sent to New York. So, I don't know. It's overwhelming because, of course, it's the first time. We do not know what to expect. It's a first-time experience for me. But like he said, at the National Education Assessment, where the 20 that were selected, they needed only two from that. But like he said, it was an amazing group of people. I learned so much. I met amazing people. So the selection, I don't even know the criteria that they used, but I'm glad that we are here. We just know what our goal is. We want to go and represent the country, not just nationally, but on a global scale. Yeah, so you asked if I will be the same person. I do not think so, because I'm going to use this platform, I think, to the best of my abilities. I want to go and meet people. I want to go and discuss issues with people. I think the youth, youth representation, it matters and it's very important, and I think we should be on those tables. We should, yes. So I think I'll not be the same person. I think I'm going to come back, and it's not going to just end with us going to New York. I think when we come back, even before going to New York, we already have projects that we are working on as UN youth delegates on youth inclusion. Yes. I believe next week we have something we want to do on career guidance in Supiri and Juba Day. Mm. And there are a lot of programs that are being carried out, not only by the two UN youth delegates, but all the UN youth fellows. There are 20. And, of course, we have the delegation as well for ECOSOC. So I think we have a lot that we are planning to do. And, yeah. Let the youth, I think the youth should just get to know more about this program and participate. Next year, there's a chance, whoever wants to go to New York, please participate in the UN Youth Delegate Program. There's the ECOSOC Forum. I think there are a lot of these things that we are not aware of. So I think it's important that we are here today to even announce it to people. You should participate in these things. You have a place, and you need to take up your place in the world.
Absolutely.
Yes, and in your country. So
Your ECOSOC delegate is she's here smiling. All right, so it's 19 minutes past 9 o'clock. I remain Peter Okello, and the guest I'm having in the studio is Grace Gasso. We have Mary Natiso, and we have Lemmy Emmanuel. The three are the youth representative. South Sudanese youth represented, brilliant as they sound, knowledgeable how they speak. And you now, the listeners across the country, I'm going to give you the chance. How about that? You'll be picking your phones right now and you'll call us. You'll call the delegates in the studio, ask them questions that you'd want to ask, something that you don't know, you want to know about this. Please feel free. And you can call if you're listening right now and you want to participate in this program. You want to be part and parcel of this youth forum tonight. Then please don't shy away to pick your phone. And you can call on the lines or on the numbers that I'm going to announce right now. You can call on 0929-686297. That is an MTN line and you can use it to call us. Or you want to maybe not to be heard, or you don't want your voice to be heard and you're that shy kind of a person, you can use an SMS. You can send us an SMS on 0912177141. You can send either a comment or a question, and all of this goes hand in hand, and I will be here to read them to the guests in the studio tonight, and they'll be able to respond to some of your questions or maybe respond to some of the comments that you have given them. All right, so if you have a Zane line as well, I'm going to read Zane lines to you. You can call on 0912-06-2950 or 0912-06-2059. I mean, 79. Those are the numbers, and you can call us. Let's get to hear from you. What are your opinion? What are your questions to the youth delegate who are in the studio tonight? And of course, with everything that we've been talking about, what is your take on tonight's program? So we'll be waiting as you call in. Hello, Lady Mirai. Hello, Lady Mirai. All right, sorry for that. Could be network interference. Please try to go on the mountain or just go on the tree if you can't. We were advised to do that before. Hello, Lady Mirai.
Hello.
Good evening.
Good evening to you.
Yes. What's your name, sir? And where are you calling from?
I am George Arcangelo. I am a UN Youth Fellow from Juba.
George Arcangelo, a UN Youth Fellow from Juba. Please, George, take it away.
Yeah. I just want to give a comment to my fellows. The life of Lenny and the life of Mary, I really appreciate seeing we met last. We never met again, and I'm sure in the next one we will meet. And I just give them a word that let them keep up the missions, and I wish to see them and practice as we promised.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Are you hearing their thanks?
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, I'm getting them.
Great, George. Thank you so much, George Arcangelo. We really appreciate for being part of this program as well.
Okay, nice.
Thank you, sir. Have a good night. All right, so you can still call and let's get to hear your opinion or questions. Hello, Lady Mirai.
Hello.
Good evening.
Good evening to you.
What's your name, sir, and where are you calling from?
My name is Franco Sevid. I'm calling from Devon.
Franco Sevid, Misal Kher.
Misal Nuria.
Naam.
Shukran of you for the studio.
Naam, Franco. Marhab.
Nugulum ya khatir so salam bito ba salam wa tarja ba salam.
Naam.
Al sual bidaye talati.
Marhab.
Taban mawdu al shabab kathir bo bimudu fi al hijra. Hada yani mafudu kunu fi priority fi ajinda bta fi America mawdu bta al hijra. Ana shabab asa bata yahajuru min hina min Sudan le Libya bim shi mudu fi bahar yujuzu min sijin adam lele. Fa amma رايم شنو كان وصل في أمريكا خليه يحاول يدخل وجنده بتاعة الهجرة ده في بايورتي في جانب. شكرا جزيلا.
نعم شكرا عليك شديد فرانكو سيفيد حسب الله خير. Well, that is Franco Sevid, and let me make a simple translation of what he said in Arabic. Franco talked of you, the delegates who will be going to New York, and those that are going to join virtually. Do you mind talking about the issue of desperate journey, that many youth died in the oceans, in the rivers, trying to cross to the other countries, looking for a better greener pasture? He talked of, do you mind putting that in your agenda, maybe to talk about it? How can that be settled? It's a Franco Sevid concern to you three in the studio. Hello, Edimra.
Hello, good evening.
Good evening to you, sir. What's your name?
Peter Yaya from Shirkat.
Peter Yaya from Republic of Shirkat.
Yeah.
All right, Peter, please go ahead.
Yeah, thank and thank also to our three guests in the studio. Yeah, I have comment and question.
Go ahead.
To the guests. Yeah. My comment is that to my sister who is going to New York this week, let her go for the good purpose so that they will go and represent South Sudan as a South Sudanese. Let her go and try himself so that other people will not see her. They be proud from his duty. Because when you do something, don't hide yourself. And my question is like that. If this participation now they have been made in the town, what mechanism did they take so that you are in the state and the counties, they should join us so that they should be in participation or they are not did there in this participation, because we are all youth, but those who are in the rural area, they do not know what is going on in the town.
Okay. That's pretty clear. Peter Yaya from Republic of Shirkat. Thank you so much. You've run away already. Okay, Peter Yaya talked of course, to Grace Gasso, who will be going, plus Honorable Sarah Akwot, that you do not go as you, go as youth representative, go as a proud South Sudanese, do not hide yourself under the table, be visible, and be there, and be seen, and shine.
Yeah, true.
That was the message. He said, I wish I translated well, hoping yes. I have not put word into my own mouth. But his question is, what are the mechanism of selection? He talked of mechanism of selection, as most of the youth in the States do not know what's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what are the mechanism of selection? Any of you will pick that up. These are two questions. So should I pick the third one so that I give the table to you so that you are able to respond? Hello, Dimra.
Yes, Mr.
Good evening to you.
Yeah, good evening. How are we?
We are all fine. How are we there?
Yeah, we are very fine here. You are speaking to Wall from a Will.
Wall from a Will.
Yeah, Wall from a Will, yeah.
Please go ahead, Wall.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it, the topic. And I must to thank my youth members who are there with you at the moment.
Youth, are you there?
Yeah, we're
yes,
there.
Yes.
You're welcome.
They can hear you
thank
now.
You. Yeah. Thank yeah. you so much.
Yeah. Thank you very much, FM, for connecting us with these beautiful members of ours. So I have some, just a few questions.
Go ahead.
Yeah. One, I think one of our callers talk about some youth who are taking the desperate journey, and then on the way are losing their lives.
Mm.
Every day we are hearing a lot of news about people who are getting thrown in DNC, others are badly mistreated in Libya and all kind of it.
Mm.
Yeah, as the youths who are going now to present South Sudan, and most of our brothers, are the ones losing their lives. I don't know how will you go and talk to the people who are there in UN, so that, and how they will perceive the idea that we will go and present based on this one there.
Mm.
And also, how Italian government or Spanish government, those countries which are along the coastal region,
mm.
what we are seeing, the way they are receiving them to some extent, is not all that, so pleasing. They are being received with a lot of, harassment and all that. So kindly go and present that thing to us. Then to us here, the youth who are in South Sudan, we need a lot of programs. We need also to be, exposed to the world, so that we show our talent.
Mm.
So we really encourage them to go and just open the door for us, so that we could engage all ourselves in the program that can bring us together as the youth of one country.
Mm.
So that this one will, I think, increase the way of loving one another and bring peace to among ourselves.
Mm.
So thank you very much for the program. I really appreciate it. And this is another time to be picked up by Mraya. I'm really very happy.
Oh,
thank you very much.
Congratulations. You have won a medal.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Wall. I really appreciate it. Please be with us and be part of the program every time from Monday to Wednesday and Friday. Now, I take it back to the guests in the studio. A couple of questions comes in, a couple of comments comes in, congratulating you, encouraging you. And of course, Wall is talking about desperate journey, echoing what Mr. Peter Yaya said as one of the things you'll carry that as well. And of course, Franco Sevit, is Franco Sevit talking of that one. But Peter Yaya talked about selection criteria. Franco talked about desperate journeys, and Wall talked about desperate journey as well. Pick wherever you feel you want to pick, but let's get to hear your opinion on the question raised in the comments.
Yeah, I think I'll speak on Desperate Journeys.
Mm.
Thank you for the questions and the comments. We highly appreciate that. Yeah, talking about Desperate Journeys, since, I don't know the history of this country, since this first Sudanese civil 1955, a lot of South Sudanese actually have left their country. We talk of Desperate Journeys, but yes, young people are leaving the country. They are desperate. They are hopeless. They go. They die. If they make it successfully, the other side, they are not treated properly. Then that brings us to the question, why are these people leaving the country? Obviously, no one will leave his own motherland to go somewhere else, to an unknown land, if there is no issue here. Yeah? There is no issue. They will not leave. If there is peace, they will not leave. If the economy is fine, they will not leave. If the opportunities here favor them, they will not leave. So I think that goes back to us as South Sudanese, as a government. Yes, we could address our issues to the organizations, we could address our issues to humanitarian organizations globally, but us as South Sudan, what are we doing? What is our government doing to ensure that people actually have, yeah, he spoke about love for the country, but it's difficult to convince somebody to love their country if they feel like they're being betrayed by the people in charge. So I think it goes back to how the people run the country. People should actually bring peace. There are a lot of policies, a lot of charters that this country's government ratifies. For example, the UN Security Council resolution on youth, peace and security. It details the fact that young people have a key role to play in bringing about peace and sustainability in community. But if young people's ideas and views are not being considered, they are prone to violence. If they feel they're not being represented well, if they feel their ideas are not being carried well, and they have no other means of making money here, they will obviously turn into other means of making money. So if you want young people to stay in their country and enjoy everything in their country, there must be something to be enjoyed. They cannot just stay here and suffer. So it goes back to our government and the policymakers.
Okay. All right, so ladies, who want to pick from which one?
Okay, I think I can talk about the issue of inclusion of youth from the other states, not just the capital. I think someone asked about it, so thank you so much for that question. This is a very valid concern, because when we look at such programs, I think it comes down to the communication and the information not being spread. But when it comes to the UN Youth Delegate Program, I believe a radio announcement was made for people to apply for these programs. But of course, maybe the reach wasn't enough and some people did not get to hear about it. And it's not just about the announcement, but even when it came to the selection, it was a very fair selection. It wasn't just people from Central Equatorial State. Like I'm from Eastern Equatorial, he's from Central. When we look at the 20 youth fellows that were actually selected by the United Nations Association, Joseph Kenyi, they did the selection. He said there were over 174 applications, but they were making sure that people from every state and the three administrative areas are all included. So the 20 of us that attended the National Education Assessment in Mona Classic, there were people from different states, different parts of the country. It wasn't just the capital, Juba. You understand?
Yes.
And okay, so just to add on something small on the Desperate Journeys.
Yes, please.
Yes, so that's also a very valid concern. People are losing lives, especially young people. But people are doing this in search of better opportunities. And he clearly said that. So if we want to avoid this problem, if we want to avoid people losing their lives because they want to run away through illegal means, what can we do? That is why as youth, we have these programs that we want to bring change. We want to talk about, I don't know, different issues, things that can help improve the situation of the youth in the country, not just the youth, but South Sudan as a country. So if we improve the situation of this country, if we do better to bring change, then we are going to have less of this issue of people losing their lives due to desperate journeys. And even for the people who want to make these decisions, someone talked about love for the country, patriotism. If you love your country, you're going to try and do better for it. You're not going to try and run away, somewhere else. You'll think, what can I do? You know, what role do I have to play to ensure that this country, you know? Yeah, so that's just a small comment that I have on that.
All right. So we have one voice that I've not spoken. Do you want to say something?
Yes. To add on to the part of the selection process, there are two different programs. There's the ECOSOF Youth Forum and the UN Delegate Program.
Right.
I'll talk more on the Ecosoft Youth Forum.
Go ahead.
So, the Ecosoft Youth Forum, there was an online application. You had to apply online, send in your details, and tell them the reason as to why you want to attend this forum.
Mm.
So, having done that, the information was spread online via social media platforms, Twitter, and Facebook.
Mm.
We all know that here in South Sudan, the most used app is Facebook. So if you follow these social media platforms of the different organizations, you'll be able to get the information. So how I got this information is through a friend, actually. And one thing I realize about people here in South Sudan is the fact that they never take things seriously. The stuff that they see online, when it's a training about something, about getting some skills according to some skills on something, they rarely apply for it. Then when one person does not tell the others about it, they'll be like, you didn't tell me about it, but everything is online. So I bet mainly it's the awareness. We need to share this information. When we get it, we should share it with people in our circle and spread the news. Mainly the radio stations can also do that for us.
Yes.
The social media platforms, I know all of us here in South Sudan follow Hot in Juba.
Mm.
So Hot in Juba can do something about it, post these opportunities for different people here. So all these opportunities are available online. All you need to do is do some research on it. Yes, everything may look like a scam at some point, but you do your research on it, check their websites, make sure the information is coordinating so that what you're applying for is a right thing. And for the desperate journeys, as they have all said, what we can do is create more opportunities within our country. Yes, we are a young country. We don't have all the best facilities, but we can create a South Sudan that we want. There are different places teaching us skills. There are so many trainings here in South Sudan. I bet most of the skills that I have currently, I've learned them here. In this 1 year that I've been here, I've learned to do so many things that I wouldn't have learned in those other countries. There are so many trainings, they don't require a cost. All you need to do is to apply for them and come and learn something new. So what I can advise people out there, you may be going through so much in your life, you feel like you don't have what to do. But the best thing you can do is maybe attend most of these trainings, learn some skills, gain some experience, meet new people, create connections and friendships. Because you never know, that one skill or that one training that you may attend may bring for you different opportunities. Because that's how it all starts for each and every one of us. All the different trainings that we attend, we shall meet that one person who will connect you to something better.
Right.
So that's all I can say to those thinking of desperate journeys or planning to go for desperate journeys.
Yes. Okay. Don't be desperate.
Thank you.
Okay. So yeah, that does it. And I would just want to read some of the SMSs that were sent in early on through the course of discussion. We have one sending from Mio Saba. She said, "Hello, everyone. I am Awut Paul from Mio Saba, and my concern about youths of South Sudan is how to find funding for such opportunities. Maybe you can throw more light on that. Have a good evening." That's from Awut. She needs more light to be shed on getting funding or how to go through about, just as you guys were discussing. And then there's one call me Olivia from Yambio. I just want to say, he's speaking in another English I don't understand. Congrats to them. Let them raise up our flag. We are proud of all of you and solidly behind you. That's Olivia from Yambio. And we are having, again, a message from Mading Francis from Kwajok, Warab State. I hope our sisters will represent South Sudan at their best. That's a short and brief message coming from Mading Francis from Kwajok, Warab State. And another message is say, call me, my call to people of good hearts, well wishes, is to focus on reformation of minors and young people who think to do criminal activities instead of working hard to put food on their table. But one thing that should be done is by making sure there's enough vocational training available for the youth so that they are able to do something better and not just go to early marriages or involve in child marriages, this and that. Call me Simon Akot from Pariak in Northern Barkazan State. Well, keep your messages coming in on 0912-1741-7141. or call on 09 686 2 97. There's another SMS that's coming in here, of course, on the social media platform, and he's saying, good evening, Okello. My comment is dumping rubbish, like on the sidewalk, that isn't a good idea either, because the city council will also take ages to collect it. Building incinerators is much better, because no need to carry the rubbish then. It's just burnt in the incinerators. Continuation of that. Yeah. And so that rubbish, after being collected, it's being dumped somewhere, for example, in Ahiwasaka in Shirkat. And cause more pollution. Call me Shani Okello. Okay, so that is a message coming from Shani Okello, and she's sending a message online. All right, so there are so many calls coming in, and time check is 41 minutes past 9 o'clock. We'll be remaining with a few minutes before we locked out of the studio. And before we do that, we still have more chances for those who are sending in SMS and those who are calling us online, and we get to hear from them their concern, their questions, and their comment. Hello, Lady Mira. Hello, Lady Mira. Hello, Lady Mira.
Hi, good evening.
Good evening to you, sir. What's your name and where are you calling from?
My name is Bua Titus. I'm calling from Rueng administrative area. I am a UN staff. I have been a former staff of Radio Miraya also there for 4 years.
Okay.
I have been, just like our guest in the studio, I've been in the U.S. All I want to say, based on my experience having been in almost all the states in the U.S., is about coordination of why you are going there. So it would be good for you also to link up with some of us who have a bit of experience. We went all over in many of those states, including the White House, including Washington, D.C., Nebraska, Iowa, Texas, and all these. We moved to these places. But we didn't go for that particular program we went for. Ours was called IVLP. However, we still came back home to South Sudan with a lot of ideas, but we do not know how we pass on these ideas to fellow other colleagues who may be willing to get some of these good ideas and how to put them into good use back home here in South Sudan. Now, you are also going, when you come back, loaded with a lot of good ideas, experience. What are you going to do with that knowledge? Are you going to keep it for yourself? It will be not useful. So we should create a forum where we can share these ideas, like you are going fresh, first time. We have been there. We could have some engagement of a bit of some discussion and give you some few tips, highlights on how you should approach our national issues there, things that affect you, things that affect everyone, because once it affects you, it ends up affecting everyone as well. So these are some of the things. However, I have a lot bunch of things to discuss, but I don't have any forum to discuss. I kept all this for years. Now, if you go and come back, think of some, to create some forum that can create a platform for us to share these ideas, share experience, and bring others on board. That would be helpful. That's just my little contribution. However, when you need more information, we'll be more than glad to pass it and share our experience. And if you have questions for us, maybe we can even give you some guidance.
Great.
Thank you very much.
Great. Now, before you go, you said your name is who, sir?
My name is Bua Titus.
Ibua?
Bua Titus.
Bua Titus. Okay.
Titus,
right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you are in Rueng.
Rueng administrative area.
Rueng administrative area. Thank you, sir. Thank you so much for your contribution. Thank you for your advice and, of course, guidance to our youth fella that will be going to US. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much, and have a nice evening.
You too. All right. So that is Bua Titus, and he was a former member who have gone to US on a different program, And of course, he has toured the length and width of the United States. He has called few cities within the U.S. And I know when you come back, you'll be, I mean, telling us some few cities as well that you have gone through. But okay, that is it. He talked of you having a platform where you are able to discuss. But is, I think what he was talking about was more of comment, but there's a question in it, if you look at it using your ego eye. He talked of what will you do when you come back from U.S. Are you going to keep quiet with it, or are you going to do something about it?
Yeah, considering the fact that this program, it's historical. It's the first time it's ever happening. So it wouldn't be of any good if the ideas we got were just kept to us. It would be a waste of ideas. So together with the UN Youth Delegate Program, we intend to say the next set of delegates comes, because it's a one-year thing. Next time, it's not us going. It's other delegates. So we have to mentor these people, because by that time, we already have the knowledge of what happens there. So without us guiding them, it wouldn't make sense. So I think that is an assurance it will happen next year. We'll be part of our trainings, and I think it will be a good idea to actually pass on the ideas to the next youth fellows.
Okay. You guys have anything to say?
Well, I just want to say thank you to Titus, because sometimes it's quite difficult for us. We feel like we are the first UN youth delegates that are going, but we forget that there are people who have also done the same thing, but through other programs. Yes. So it's amazing to know that there's someone who is willing to give us advice, to share his experience with us. And I just want to say thank you again for the idea you said, that we can create a forum where we can share some of these issues with the youth, and yeah, link up with people and share our experiences. So thank you so much, Titus. I hope we can connect.
Okay, so let me pick more calls in that regard. Let's get to hear some of them, maybe one or two. If you want to say something, Grace, you say that later on.
Okay.
So let's get to hear from the callers online. Hello, Redemira.
Good evening.
Good evening to you, sir. What's your name and where are you calling from?
My name is Majok Adut.
Majok Adut. Where are you calling from?
Yeah.
Okay, yay. All right, go ahead, please.
So I have my message for that program.
Yes, proceed.
I want to tell them, keep yourself and humble yourself, though, even if you are a Jewish person, because we need to be like American people.
They should not change to America. They go Junubin, they come back Junubin.
Yes, we shall.
Yes.
Yes.
So please, that is my place. That is my message.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're hard.
Yeah.
Mm. Not going to come back, you're speaking the other English we don't understand.
No.
We'll repatriate you. So let's keep on calling on 09-2968-6297. Hello, Redemira.
Hello.
Yes, good evening to you.
Good evening to you, sir.
All right. Please speak up a little bit. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Colvin Ode from Kwedu Town.
Your name, sir?
What?
Your name. I didn't get that well.
I'm from Deng Deng.
Okay. Deng Deng from Kwajok?
Yes. Yes, from Kwajok.
From Kwajok. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, sir.
Let me greet the guest from the studio.
Mm.
And also, I'm greeting you for the system. And my question to this program is, the government capable to are you possible to get training from national level to stateable, or will not do it? Because we want to understand the rule and regulation of the youth in the county. But some of the youth are not understand the rules. That is my question that I have from the studio.
So what is your question? Oh, that's a question to the studio. You want the youth to understand the rules?
Yes, we want to understand the rules.
Okay. Okay, thank you. Well, please make Deng Deng from Kwajok understand the rules. Okay, it's actually 50 minutes yeah. on top of the hour. We are like 10 minutes or so, but we'll be like 3 minutes or two from now before we sign out from the studio. I just want to give you the guest a platform right now to say something, maybe respond to Majoka Dut, who said what he said, and then Deng Deng to just understand the rules of basic, but just make an overall comment. Or maybe let's use this chance to talk about few things that you have not talked about, from each to the other to the other, and then now we'll have the last chance to say something finally before we depart from the studio. But before doing that, there's a message that I would want to read, and this message is coming from Grand Mareng Deng from Lola Kwe, Northern Barkazan State. He said, good evening Peter Okello the Great with a guest in the studio. Thank you for the topic of discussion. I would like to comment on this topic. For me, if you go to other cities like New York, do not go and hide yourself there. You are a citizen of this country, and we need you to love our country, even if our country is not that developed. Yes. So my question is, what would you tell youth who go to other cities but they do not want to come back to their home? That is from Garang Mareng Deng from Lola Kwe, Northern Barkazal State. Please give a comment, 30 seconds each for all of you. That's 1 minute and a half.
Yeah.
And then we'll give the forum for you to say your last messages before you leave the studio.
I think responding to Garang about youth going to other cities like Kampala, not wanting to return here, claiming it's too hot, yet we are surviving here. I think young people out there, you must know that, yes, I've talked about the government not doing enough, maybe. But again, although the government is not doing enough, it's up to you as a young person to change your mentality. And remember that this is where you come from. When you die, you're not going to bury you. They will not bury you in Uganda. You'll be carried to your village deep there. So it's up to you to come back here. Yes, you've gone there to attain skills and education and all that, but remember where you come from. It's up to you to develop this country, not anyone else.
That's a very wonderful message there.
Thank you.
Who else have a wonderful message?
I think there was a question that was not answered from a caller called Aoud Paul.
Okay.
And she talked about funding.
Okay. Mary, you want to say something? Maybe Grace? Grace.
Yes.
Bliss.
On the point of Aoud, she talked about the funding for the different trips. Yes, most of these forums, they require you to apply and there is no funding. So basically, what you can do is, if it's a UN program, you can write to the UN institutions within your country, UNFPA, UNDP, UN Women, and the many others, to fund the project. Because these align with some of their goals of their companies, so they can be able to fund. Mm. Also, government entities can do that for you. Yes, that's all I can add on that.
Okay, so now I'll be giving the ball to you to say your last messages, and each is 30 seconds. Before you do that, there's a message coming from Deng Nin in Malakal. What activity can unite youth in South Sudan? Simple question as that. Maybe someone will carry in for 30 seconds, and then you will be able to say your last messages. And then a message coming from Martin Mayuen from Kwajok. Youth need more mobilization and advices from both family and government, for war has become an addict, especially illiterate youth, those in remote areas. They need advice from families and government. It's just a message from Martin Mayuen. What is your take on what can unite youth in South Sudan? What activity can unite youth in South Sudan? Just one thing, and then we sign out.
I think sports. Because okay. Currently, we have all seen South Sudanese boys going to play basketball and qualifying for the World Cup. And we just had the World Sports Day recently. Sports is key. You can bring enemies to play a football match, although there will be some conflict, but it would still bring some sort of unity, bring people with different identities to play a sport. It's amazing the things sports can do. And we have all seen that, the huge love that South Sudanese showed towards our
national basketball team.
I think sports is a very big thing on bringing unity.
Okay. Society. Anything else, ladies?
Same.
Sports. Anything, Mary?
I was thinking sports as well.
You people are copying copycats.
Great minds think alike.
Copycats. Anyway, let's go for the last seconds. I would want to begin with Grace, and I ship to Lemmy Emma,
yeah.
And then we come to Mary, and we close. Grace, what would be one of the messages that you'd want to throw out there to the listeners across the country? Don't forget that millions of them listening.
Yes. Hello, everyone. This is a message from me to you all. I would like you to all take a step in life. Every opportunity that comes your way, you should go for it. If it's something that you believe is safe and productive to your life, please do go for it. And if it doesn't work out, just know it isn't meant for you and try on the next and never give up. Keep on trying. You'll obviously achieve what you need in life. Yeah, that's all.
Okay. And then Lemmy Emmanuel.
Yeah, I'm not a motivational speaker, but I mean, my message is to every young person out there. You could be one young person listening to this on a radio. Someone, wherever you are here in South, you could be listening to this as a podcast after. You just have to believe that you can make an impact in this society. Although it wouldn't be that huge, but change starts with you. If it doesn't start with you, then you're not bringing the change by yourself. So I think it's very important that you acknowledge the fact that you can make a change in this society we live in.
Okay. And then Mary Natisio.
Okay, mine is a vote of thanks to everyone who has tuned in on this program, listened to us, given us your ideas. Thank you so much. And yeah, to add on to what they've said, I just want to call upon the youth to participate in different programs that are going to help this country. South Sudan is our country. Nobody's going to develop it for us. Let's do something. Everybody has a role to play. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you all both very, very much for having, have the chance and accepted the invitation to come and be part of the Youth Forum tonight. I'm really very honored and privileged to say thank you and being here as youthful as you are. And that is, of course, to those that are still outside and are listening, I want to feed you in. The guest in the studio for tonight is Miss Grace Gacho, the Youth Delegate and Speaker at Roundtable on SDG number 9 on Industrial Innovation and Infrastructure. We have Mary Natisio, UN Youth Delegate. And then you have Lemmy Emmanuel, a UN Youth Delegate as well. You, the three, thank you so much. And we are happy at the Youth Forum for having you tonight. We wish you well as you move on outside. Make us proud. Carry our flag up high. And all others that are outside and listening to the Youth Forum with me, I want to say thank you too. Without you, of course, why would we be in the studio? You are equally important, and we thank you for tuning in, as always, for being with us. I want to say, be a good youth, be a youthful youth, don't be a crazy youth. And one thing that I want to say is that, please eat from what you plant, don't eat from what you didn't plant.